Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So today we are taking a deep dive into an 11-year data set that just completely upends our fundamental understanding of human immunity.
Yeah, it really does.
You know, there's this universal concept we all just sort of accept, right? Like, when it comes to getting sick, you catch a virus, you feel terrible for a few days, your immune system fights it off, and then you just assume you have this lifelong ironclad protection against that exact bug.
Right, it is the silver lining of being miserable.
Yeah.
Like, you assume the suffering buys you a permanent shield.
Exactly. It's the golden rule of how we think about immunity. But, well, what if that rule is fundamentally flawed? I mean, let's take dengue virus. It is an absolute powerhouse of a pathogen.
Oh, absolutely.
It infects over 100 million people symptomatically every single year. And the prevailing medical paradigm, like the textbook rule, has always said that you can only be infected by a specific dengue serotype once in your lifetime, like one and done.
Which is what makes this study so fascinating.
Right. So what really happens when our bodies slowly forget what they've fought? And how could this change everything we thought we knew about vaccines and lifelong protection?
Well, solving a mystery of that magnitude requires stepping away from the textbook, you know, and tracking real human populations over a massive span of time, right down to the molecular level.
Which brings us to the brilliant minds behind this research. Today, we celebrate the work of Jair Andrade, Adrian Matar de Girardi, Ancana T. Huang, Henrik Solia, and the brilliant international teams across the University of Cambridge, the Armed Forces Research Institute of Medical Sciences in Thailand, SUNY Upstate, and their partners, who have advanced our understanding of long-term viral immunity.
Yeah, their work is just so vital because, to understand the stakes for you, the listener, we first really need to understand the unique architecture of dengue.
Right, because it's not just one simple virus sweeping through a population.
Exactly. Dengue actually has four distinct serotypes, which scientists label DENV1 through DENV4. They're all transmitted by any of these mosquitoes, which are incredibly efficient vectors.
Especially in highly endemic tropical regions, right?
Right, they're everywhere. And historically, the old paradigm worked like this. If you are bitten by a mosquito carrying DNMV1 and you get sick, your immune system mounts a defense.
Okay.
And the medical community assumed this granted you lifelong homotypic immunity.
Meaning you are permanently protected against DNMV1.
Exactly. And you also get a bonus temporary heterotypic immunity, which gives you a short-term shield against the other three serotypes, DNMV2, 3, and 4.
So to use an analogy, beating DNMV1 was like getting an unlimited, non-expiring VIP pass to an exclusive club.
I like that.
Yeah, like once you beat it, you are permanently on the guest list to never get sick from DNV1 ever again. The problem is what happens when that temporary heterotypic shield against the other three serotypes fades away.
Right, and that leads to the really dangerous twist of dengue.
Right.
Because if you get a secondary infection with a different serotype later on, say DNV2, your risk of severe life-threatening disease actually increases significantly.
Wait, it increases? Why?
Yeah, it happens because of a phenomenon known as original antigenic sin.
Oh, wow. Okay, original antigenic sin. Let's unpack that term because it sounds incredibly ominous. How does that actually work in the body?
Well, think of it as the immune system relying on an outdated battle plan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When DNV2 enters the body, the immune system recognizes it as dengue, but it deploys the specific weapons, the antibodies, that it built for DNV1.
Ah, I see.
So those old antibodies bind to the new DNV2 virus, but because it is a slightly different shape, they don't neutralize it completely.
But just sort of stick to it without destroying it.
Actually, it is worse than that. The virus uses those loosely attached antibodies as a Trojan horse to gain entry into the body's immune cells.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, it allows the virus to replicate much faster. So the very weapons meant to protect you end up causing this hyperinflammatory response.
Which explains why understanding exactly how and when immunity wanes is quite literally a matter of life and death.
Exactly. And this highlights why this unquestioned assumption of lifelong homotypic immunity has been such a massive global health blind spot.
Right, because if vaccine developers assume that a single exposure provides a lifelong VIP pass, they design their vaccines around that rule. This study proves we have been flying blind.
Completely blind.
So how did the researchers actually prove that this permanent VIP pass expires?
Well, it required patience and an astonishing scale of data collection. The researchers utilized three long-term tracking cohorts covering 4,268 participants.
Over 4,000 people.
Yeah, in highly endemic regions. Two cohorts were in Cebu in the Philippines, and the third was the KFCS cohort in Camphit, Thailand.
Okay, let's unpack this. They followed these individuals for up to 11 years, right?
Right. They gathered regular annual blood draws and actively surveyed them for febrile illnesses.
Meaning they basically checked in to see if anyone felt sick and had a fever.
Exactly. And then they tracked the neutralizing antibody titers using two specific tests, PRNT and HI assays.
And those acronyms represent the gold standard for measuring immunity, don't they?
They do. So PRNT stands for plaque reduction neutralization test. In a lab, scientists take a patient's blood serum, mix it with a live dengue virus, and pour it over a layer of healthy cells.
And a plaque is basically a dead zone where the virus killed the cells, right?
Right, so by measuring how much the patient's antibodies reduce the formation of those dead zones, you get a precise measurement of their immune strength.
Got it. And the HI assay, or the hemagglutination inhibition assay, that measures how well the antibodies stop the virus from clumping red blood cells together.
Yeah, both are incredibly granular ways to see the body's defenses at work.
And then they took all that data.
Yeah, the researchers transformed that complex assay data onto a mathematical scale, which allowed them to measure exact immune responses over a full decade.
Okay, but I have to push back on the logistics here. If the goal is to prove people are getting reinfected with the same virus, but those people aren't showing up at the hospital feeling sick, How can you definitively prove they are getting infected at all? I mean, you can't track a ghost. It sounds like they are just looking at a bunch of perfectly healthy people.
That is the exact hurdle that standard disease surveillance trips over.
Mm.
Hospitals really only see the tip of the iceberg, you know, the severe cases.
Right.
The innovation in this deep dive is how the researchers use complex mathematical and catalytic models to uncover subclinical infections. These are the silent infections.
Wait, how does a catalytic model reveal a silent infection?
Well, think of it like checking your bank account balance only once a year. You don't see the individual deposits or withdrawals, but if your balance is $500 in January and suddenly $5,000 the next January, you know a major deposit happened, even if you missed the actual transaction.
I see.
By mapping the spikes and decays in antibody levels between those yearly blood draws, the models separate the natural fluctuations of the immune system from massive, undeniable antibody spikes.
Spikes that only occur when the body fights off a fresh infection.
Exactly.
So they caught the immune system reacting in real time to a threat the patient had no idea was even there.
Yeah, they transformed hidden biological events into measurable data points.
And when they looked at all those hidden spikes across the 11-year data set, the numbers are absolutely staggering. I mean, 94% of the infections detected in this study were subclinical. 94%.
It's huge. It completely flips our understanding of dengue ecology. The vast majority of the time the virus is moving through the population, it is doing so completely silently.
Which is pretty clever of the virus, honestly.
Right. From an evolutionary standpoint, it is a brilliant strategy. A virus doesn't want to put its host in bed.
Yeah, a host walking around feeling perfectly fine is much better at spreading the pathogen to new mosquitoes.
Exactly.
Which brings us back to that VIP pass, the supposedly lifelong immunity.
Right, so the data showed unequivocally that antibodies do not last forever. They undergo what the researchers call a bi-exponential decay.
Okay, let's break down that term. Why two phases of decay?
Well, in the first year following an incident infection, your antibodies drop sharply. You can think of this as the peacetime drawdown.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, the active war against the virus is over, so the immune system stands down the massive standing army of circulating antibodies.
I mean, keeping antibody levels maxed out forever would just take too much biological energy.
Right, but then comes the second phase. The levels don't just stabilize indefinitely, they enter a steady, long-term leak.
A leak.
Yeah, the memory B cells and long-lived plasma cells responsible for maintaining that baseline protection either die off or lose efficiency over time. The researchers calculated this long-term leak has a half-life of 7 to 8 years following incident infections.
A 7 to 8 year half-life. So your protection is literally draining away year by year.
Yes, it is.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because that leads to this absolutely mind-blowing statistic from the paper. By age 40, in highly endemic settings like the Philippines, an estimated 60% of people have experienced a homotypic reinfection.
Yeah, it's a huge number.
Let me repeat that. 60% of people are catching the exact same dengue serotype a second time.
And under the old textbook paradigm, that number should be zero.
Right, and the population data backs this up pitifully too. Like in the Philippines cohort, overall population antibody titers peaked around age 22.
Yep, and in the Thailand cohort, where overall transmission rates are a bit lower, they peak at age 48.
And after those peaks, the population's overall immunity just slowly declines.
Exactly. And the study also noted that when people do get reinfected, the boost to their antibodies is smaller if their pre-existing antibody levels were already high.
So there are diminishing returns on these immune boosts.
Right. If your tank is already mostly full, a reinfection only tops it off a little bit.
Okay. I have a major pushback here. If immunity decays over an 8-year half-life, and 60% of people are getting reinfected by the exact same virus.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't the hospitals filled with 60-year-olds suffering from severe dengue? I mean, if their immunity is leaking away for decades, shouldn't they be getting horribly sick when they catch it again?
That is the crucial paradox the data resolves. The risk of symptomatic infection actually decreases to near zero in individuals over 60 in these specific cohorts.
But how is that possible if their antibodies are decaying?
Because of those silent subclinical infections we just talked about, these homotypic reinfections act as asymptomatic immune-stimulating events.
Like natural silent boosters.
Exactly. The virus is circulating so heavily in these endemic regions that before an older person's antibodies can drop to a dangerously low level where they would get severely sick, a mosquito bites them.
And delivers a silent homotypic reinfection.
Right, and that tops their immunity right back up.
But wait, isn't getting a silent booster from a random mosquito bite a massive biological gamble? Like, what if their immunity drops just a little too low before that mosquito finally bites them?
That's a great point.
Because then they'd cross the threshold from a silent boost to a severe, life-threatening infection, wouldn't they?
Well, it would be a gamble in a region with low transmission. But in hyper-endemic regions like Cebu or Kamphaeng Phet, the mosquito bites are incredibly frequent.
Right, the virus is everywhere.
Yeah, so the mathematical probability of going decades without a bite in these areas is virtually zero. They are riding a continuous wave of re-exposure that keeps their immune system primed just enough to prevent severe disease, but not enough to prevent infection altogether.
Wow. So they lose immunity, but the environment constantly gives them free booster shots without them ever feeling a single symptom.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the implications of this for how we handle public health are just massive.
Let's look at vaccines first. I mean, if natural immunity wanes, and even surviving a live wild virus doesn't give you lifelong protection,
then live vaccines that simply mimic natural infection probably won't provide lifelong protection either.
So booster shots are almost certainly going to be necessary for dengue vaccines.
Yeah, health ministries cannot just vaccinate a child, check them off a spreadsheet, and assume they are safe for the next 70 years. They will really need to budget for and schedule adult booster campaigns.
And then there is what the study implies about our current interventions. Honestly, this part of the deep dive blew my mind.
It is pretty counterintuitive.
Yeah. We have all these amazing public health initiatives rolling out across the globe to fight dengue. Like, we are deploying early generation vaccines. Birth rates are naturally dropping in many developing nations, which slows viral transmission.
Right.
Scientists are even releasing mosquitoes infected with a bacteria called Wolbachia, which actively stops the mosquitoes from transmitting dengue. All of these incredible efforts lower the transmission of the virus.
Which, on the surface, sounds like an unmitigated public health victory.
But the data reveals a terrifying paradox. If you successfully lower transmission, you inadvertently reduce the number of infected mosquitoes.
And if you reduce the infected mosquitoes, you remove the silent boosters from the population.
It's like thinking a single coat of paint will protect a house forever, but it actually requires constant touch-ups from the environment.
I love that analogy.
And if you build a giant fence to block the environment completely, the house seems safe, but the paint eventually chips away completely.
The paint analogy captures the danger perfectly. Because if we stop the silent spread of dengue, older populations will see their antibody titers drop continuously without those natural touch-ups.
Right.
Without the constant hum of endemic transmission keeping their immune systems primed, their antibody levels could eventually drop so low that they crossed that dangerous threshold you mentioned earlier.
So an entire generation of older individuals who were previously protected by the high transmission rates of their youth could suddenly become vulnerable to severe symptomatic dengue again.
Exactly.
By trying to save people from the virus, we might accidentally be removing the very mechanism that was keeping the older population safe. That is wild.
Yeah, and navigating that is going to be a terrifying tightrope for public health officials. Any intervention that reduces transmission must be paired with aggressive, long-term monitoring of the older population's antibody levels.
To see if artificial boosters are suddenly required to replace the natural ones.
Now,
to be fully rigorous, we do need to address the limitations of the data. I mean, no 11-year study is perfectly pristine.
Oh, absolutely not. The primary limitation stems from the cross-reactivity we discussed earlier with original antigenic sin.
Right, the overlapping antibodies.
Yeah, because the researchers were relying on antibody titers in the blood to catch these silent infections. They could clearly see an infection occurred, but they couldn't always identify the exact serotype responsible for the subclinical bump.
Ah, because the antibodies for DNB1, 2, 3, and 4 all overlap and react to each other in the assays.
Exactly.
And there are other regional factors that could cause minor fluctuations in those antibody tests, right?
Yes, there are. For instance, prior infections with the Zika virus, which is a close genetic cousin to dengue, can sometimes muddy the waters of these specific tests.
Causing the models to pick up noise.
Yeah, but however, the researchers did account for this in their mathematical models. Even with these limitations, the sheer volume of data tracking thousands of people over more than a decade points overwhelmingly to the reality of frequent homotypic reinfection.
So we have covered decades of tracking, thousands of patients, complex catalytic models, and the complete upending of a medical paradigm.
It is a lot to take in.
It really is. So what does this all mean? Distill this down for us. What is the core takeaway?
Okay, the core takeaway is this. The long-held belief in lifelong homotypic immunity to dengue virus is incorrect. Mm-hmm. Our protection against this pathogen does not come from a one-time permanent shield. Instead, our defense relies on a continuous lifelong cycle of silent asymptomatic reinfections to maintain high antibody levels and keep us safe from severe disease.
The golden rule of forgetting. Like, our bodies really do slowly forget, unless the world actively reminds them.
Exactly. Which leaves us with a critical thought to explore moving forward. If dengue's lifelong immunity is actually a mirage maintained by silent reinfections, what does this mean for our global vaccination strategies? And are there other lifelong diseases that are quietly reinfecting us right now?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science base by base. We thought the lightning only struck one time. Same face, same fever, same borderline. But numbers in the blood don't hold that bright. They rise like a flare, then slip from sight. A fast fall in the first few moons, then a long, slow fade through quiet afternoon. Years pass by in a steady slide, and the old always doesn't always survive. So we count the echoes in the vein. Protection isn't permanent, it wanes. Most of it moves in silence, unseen. A shield gets thin, but life goes on. On the ground.
hidden sparks can still redraw the chart. Age writes patterns on the antibody bark, and after more than one hard-earned scar, the drop slows down, still drifting far. Not every vaccine can promise never again. If the curve keeps bending, if the memory thins, so plan for the long night, not just the start. Watch the slow decline like a beating heart. Boost the light when the signal turns dim. Build a model where reality lives within. Yeah, we can.